previously on We Live Here.
Okay, establish consciously inclusive communities to unite neighbors in focused action to make their communities welcoming and accessible in terms of income and racial and ethnic diversity to build ties that support human development and connection.
Yes.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? You know, that's a fair question because we still have to imagine it.
Hey everyone, it's me, Camille.
And me, Tim. And today we're starting with a scene that's familiar to probably every reporter out there, or really anybody who's gotten involved in a neighborhood controversy.
My name is Natasha Brown, and I'm the president of Southeast Ferguson Community Association.
Yes.
Tonight is our first annual town hall for the Southeast Ferguson community. Tonight we are going to address a few issues.
We're in Ferguson at a community meeting, a pretty urgent one in fact, because just before Thanksgiving, a housing crisis of sorts popped up in Southeast Ferguson.
If you all do not know, on October 25th, 2018, St. Louis County Housing Authority had a mass inspection over several properties, not just properties in Southeast Ferguson. However, five of the properties that were inspected were in Southeast Ferguson: Versailles, Oakmont, Canfield, Park Ridge, and North Wings.
And people who live in those properties, Latasha goes on to say, have been getting letters saying that because of these inspections, they got to move out quickly.
Our goal is tonight is basically to get answers to the questions that we have.
Our colleague Ashley Listenby, who also covers race and class issues as part of a reporting collective here called Sharing America, also had a lot of questions. In fact, she's the one who recorded this meeting, then came back later to tell us about it. And we, in turn, asked her to help us tell you guys about it. So, hey, Ashley.
Hey.
All right, so, Ashley, what's behind this big meeting in Ferguson?
Sure. I learned about this meeting from a source of mine in Ferguson. Her name is Fran. And she said that dozens and dozens of people would show up at the Urban League to talk about eviction notices that they received at Park Ridge Apartments.
And this was just last month, which is pretty cold outside. So getting an eviction notice
exactly
in mid-November is that's pretty bad.
Yeah, it was very shocking. And it was really cold, and people were worried about where they would live if they had to leave at this split second.
And it wasn't just one or two people that got these notices, right?
Right, exactly. Park Ridge Apartments has about 350 units. And so there were so many people in the building in the complex that received these letters.
How many evictions were there?
The exact number is unclear, just because activists and the housing authority are unsure how many letters TEH delivered to people's doors.
And we'll get into who TEH is in just a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we'll also get into this meeting in a little bit, because Ashley's going to hang with us today. She's going to be with us through this entire episode. Lucky you guys. And she's going to help us detail some of the complications that arose from this meeting, from this mass eviction notice that went out for our neighbors in Ferguson, for the players, and for overlapping systems that are ultimately accountable for all this.
But we should also let you know up front that this isn't just a story of folks not getting it right. There are, in fact, signs of progress here, and backlash, and troubling patterns.
So, on this episode, our last of season four, we should say, we're using the very real and very current flare-up over evictions in St. Louis's most infamous suburb to get to the heart of what our year of storytelling about race and housing has been about.
From St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, this is We Live Here, a show for people somewhere on the woke spectrum.
You guys have actually met Ashley before.
The last time she was in our studio, she was telling us about issues with public housing in East St. Louis.
That was a couple episodes ago. Mm-hmm. And Ashley had this really poignant moment with a tenant, a mom desperate to get a Section 8 housing choice voucher so she could hopefully get her children into better housing.
That's right. She was concerned about how long it was taking for her to receive a Section 8 voucher to move out of public housing and into a better community.
And we should say that the story you recently started digging into on this side of the Mississippi River in Ferguson is also tied to Section 8.
Yes, that's right. There are more than 100 people living with Section 8 vouchers in Park Ridge Apartments.
But unlike the East St. Louis story, and step in if I get this wrong, the latest crisis didn't come about because of inaction on the part of the Housing Authority, quite the opposite of that.
Yeah, St. Louis County Housing Authority was trying to be proactive. They had seen some problems with other properties owned by the same property owner, TEH Realty, and they wanted to step in to try to fix it by inspecting units and inspecting the property before something happened.
Mm. And you can actually hear this come across when Susan Rollins, who's head of the St. Louis County Housing Authority, gets to that community meeting we heard a little bit of at the beginning of the show.
There seems to be a lot of confusion. And I understand that, and I know how frustrating that can be. And so Ms. Brown asked if I would come to this meeting so that we can go through some of that confusion and see if we can't figure out where we can be together. I think it was in October. We are located at Natural Bridge and 170, and there's the Quick Trip right there. And behind the Quick Trip is a building called Springwood. And there was an issue with the concrete patio that was there, and it was falling down, and then there was plywood underneath it. And one of the things that was very frustrating is that that was an area where people would walk under there to do laundry. That was the only place to do laundry in the building. Wow. And so when it was condemned by Belridge, we went to visit, and when I say we, I went to visit too, and I walked through units, and I talked to our clients, and when a building's condemned, what happens? Individuals are forced to move out. You have to leave. And what we found, and TEH is the owner of this building, and what we found was that some individuals were being moved into units within the complex, but the units still weren't up to par. And because of that, we got concerned that we might need to look at other TEH property in our community and see if the same things were happening or see Take a closer look.
They found problems, including problems with the concrete walkways. And they also found that the city condemned one of the Park Ridge buildings. And so Susan Rollins explains that one way they handled it was punishing the property owner by taking money away.
Basically like the bureaucratic slap on the wrist?
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
We decided that we would look at the units, we would determine what was going on, and if there were units that we didn't feel met the muster, that we would abate the unit. Abate means that we were not going to pay the Housing Authority's portion for that particular month.
So it's important to know that TEH Realty, the company that owns Park Ridge Apartments, did not respond well to this. They sent out eviction notices to residents saying, basically, we're sorry to lose you.
Wait, hold on a second. The eviction notice said,
we're sorry to lose you?
Yes.
Like literally?
Yeah, it did. Wow. It said, we hate to lose you as a resident, but per county housing, they will not allow Park Ridge Apartments to continue to house you. Yeah. So they sent out these letters en masse, and that's their response.
I don't know who received the letter because the letter didn't have any names on it or anything like that, but there's a letter that says the county was not paying, therefore you have to move. That's not correct. So we abated some of the units, and yes, in theory, we were not paying for those units because sometimes in order to get people's attention, you have to say, no, we're not going to do that in order to make people change. And we found that this works with many organizations. Canfield is just down the street, I believe, not too far from here. It's owned by Village Green. There have been mold issues and many other issues in that building, and we did the same thing with Canfield. And Village Green is working on changing the way they do things, and they're pulling out walls and starting to dry things out and pulling up rugs and those types of things. So we're feeling that they're moving in the right direction.
And what have people been doing?
Well, naturally, people freaked out. They panicked, and that's why they showed up at this meeting. They were looking for answers. And so at that meeting, there were lawyers who could help people understand what the eviction letters meant. And those lawyers said that those letters were illegal. They were unlawful because they weren't issued by a court.
But the most important thing that I want you to take away with you tonight is we don't want anyone or a TEH to get you involved in a lawsuit that causes you to have to potentially lose your Section 8 voucher, because if you're in a lawsuit, the chances of being able to move to another unit are pretty slim, no matter who we are. Okay, so we don't want that to happen to you. That's why it's very important to talk to your caseworker, talk to me. You can access all of the legal services that we have in St. Louis, which are really wonderful services. There are times when even I have believed that the Housing Authority has made an error in some instances, and I have had clients, please call legal aid and please share with them what's going on so that we can right a wrong or we can do something better for the community. But it's very important that you let us know what's going on. Don't think that we know everything that's going on, because we don't.
So Ashley, did Rollins' explanation mollify the crowd?
Kind of, but they were still really confused about why some of these problems were allowed to last so long, and why people were allowed to live there while these problems still existed. And Rollins addressed that by saying that she's trying to work out a culture change in the agency to address people's needs.
Yeah, she even gave people her phone number at that meeting, right?
Yeah, she did.
And she also brought up an idea that we just told you guys about in our last episode, about this housing trust fund that's in the works in St. Louis County, right?
Right. She explained how a trust fund could help solve some of these problems.
The only thing that we're missing in this entire entire equation is that there is not enough money, and there is no money most of the time, for the next security deposit, for the next first month's rent, or for the moving van. And that's an issue that is an issue not only for individuals who are lower income, that's an issue for many, many people. And it's not just an issue for our clients. So it's important that we try as best we can in this community to create money for that purpose. So for instance, Springwood, you gotta move 10 people tomorrow. Where are you gonna get the money? This pot of money would be available to do that kind of thing, okay?
Rollins encouraged people to fill out surveys about the trust fund because, after all, they are the people who need the service the most.
But as I understand it, that's not the only group people were calling for accountability from, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
An activist named Ronnie was standing in the back of the room during this meeting, and she says residents need more answers.
So the property owners has been collecting all this federal tax dollars and portions of rent from these people. I have not heard anybody want to address the property owners, because these people deserve a refund for all this rent that they have been paying into substandard housing. And so is that something as the
I mean, Ashley, this is a good time to ask, who are these property owners?
Sure. TEH Realty has a couple representatives that are in Ferguson, but their main office is in Kansas City, and then a corporate office is in Israel. So they're kind of all over the place, and it's kind of hard to pin down who the people actually are.
And you reached out to them with some of the concerns and questions about what's going on there, right?
I did. I reached out. I didn't hear anything for a while. Mm-hmm. And then somebody called me. I don't know how they got my number, but okay. Someone called me with a statement. And
did they read the statement to you?
They read the statement to me. Then I got an email with the exact same verbiage.
Uh-huh.
And they basically were apologetic. And said that they were fixing up the problems, pointed the finger back at the previous owner, kind of pointed the finger at the St. Louis County Housing Authority, not really taking a lot of the responsibility.
And just to be clear, too, we would play tape of whatever that statement was, but they would not go on tape with
but
you,
But I
right?
don't have them on
You're,
tape.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Mm, okay. So what about the city? Because they had condemned one of TEH's buildings, too, right?
That's correct. And Mayor Knowles, the mayor of Ferguson, was at that meeting. And afterward, I walked to him and asked him, so what is the city's response going to be to all of this ruckus and chaos?
Several years ago, we put into place a responsible landlord initiative, which we hold landlords accountable, not just for their actions on a specific property, but for all the properties that they own in a community. And so whether they're trying to evict one person illegally, or 100 or 200, we will hold up their license and all the properties they own in Ferguson.
I mean, it certainly seems like he's willing to go there. He's willing to revoke TEH's ability to be a landlord in Ferguson.
Yeah, it seems that way, that he was willing to go there and put that threat out there. But these procedural things don't really help residents like Elizabeth Hobson, who's a woman I talked to at this meeting. And she had to move out of her unit back in October because of some of these problems at Park Ridge. And now she's worried that she'll have to move again.
Yeah, it was really bad. Plus, I didn't have four back surgeries. And then all of a sudden, you had to move out in 24 hours. That was real bad on me. And then I had to find people to come and help me move out and stuff. And then they put me over in the next apartment over. And dead roaches, but that cleaned it up and everything because I had to find somewhere to stay. And then I moved it over there. And then found out you had to leave out again. Oh, hair falling out, everything. I was really stressed about that.
So just before the break, we heard from a woman uncertain about her housing stability thanks to a wave of inspections and illegal eviction notices sent to hundreds of tenants of an apartment complex in southeast Ferguson.
Elizabeth Hobson was hardly alone. A lot of people, from public officials to legal advocates to community activists, were confused and confounded after property owner TEH told residents, "You gotta go."
Many believe it was retaliation for the County Housing Authority's proactive move to suspend payments over substandard facilities.
But remember, this all flared up in November, and we, along with our colleague Ashley Lissabe, are recording this episode a few days before Christmas.
Which all begs the question, where are things now?
Well, first I want to start with Latasha Brown. She's the woman who organized the first meeting, and I met with her last night at a Christmas function where they were handing out gifts and foods to families and kids. And she told me that a lot of people that lived in Park Ridge have now moved to another TEH property called North Winds.
Some of those residents did get help from Legal Services of Missouri. Some of them did become clients of Arch Defenders. So it's still a work in process. The Salvation Army did create a program for market rate rent people who was in the same thing to help them as well. So what I'm going to say is, what's the word? We still have trouble, but we working on it.
Is that it? Problem solved?
No, problem not solved. There's a woman that I met there. Her name is Pamela. She used to be a resident at Park Ridge, and she now lives in North Winds with a cousin.
My eviction came with excessive rental fees.
And she says that all these rental fees that pile up over time really blackball residents.
$50 a day, $75 a day when you're behind on your rent, and that allows you to be homeless. Because you're being put out for these extreme fees. You're paying down the rent portion, but you still got the extreme fees going, and they're still calculating those extra dollars on that.
Were you a Section 8 voucher recipient?
No, market rate. Paying market rate straight out of pocket.
How much were you paying in rent?
$550, the rent for a two-bedroom at the time.
And then where are you living now?
I live in North Winds now, yes.
And so a similar situation happened in North Winds, right, with
yes.
The letters?
Yes, the letters came in the mail, and some was taped up against the doors of a lot of the tenants in that area, yes.
So clearly residents continue to struggle with this set of circumstances, but correct me if I'm wrong, Ashley, but TEH and the County Housing Authority struck sort of a deal in the background, right?
Yeah, they have an agreement, right? The Housing Authority is saying, okay, TEH, we're going to give you some time to fix some of these problems. Can you fix your porches and the stairs and some of these other issues that we've inspected in the past? And TEH is saying, okay, yeah, we can do that. Can we figure out a way to maintain some of these residents who are leaving in the process?
Mm-hmm.
So it's this weird interim.
It's like a holding pattern almost.
Yeah, where the building managers are trying to fix things. Mm-hmm. Housing Authority is kind of looking out for that. They're saying they're going to come back in April, and the building managers want them to come back in January to see if they can get that reinspection pushed up a little farther.
So in a few weeks.
Yeah, in a few weeks. I mean, again, this is a really challenging time where it's cold and it's the holidays and everything's going on. There's a lot of buildup to this because of media attention on the mass eviction notices. And so everybody is trying to work together to figure it out. But in the meantime, there's still a lot of misunderstanding.
But I have a very practical question. So, you know, the housing authority had abated units. They'd said, we're not going to pay for these units that we think are substandard. So is the housing authority paying them or not?
Well, another weird thing, right? So they did stop paying that rent, but they also put up a fund. Latasha told me last night that they are trying to assist people with funds that they need for rent. So they're not paying the building, but they are helping residents who may need rental assistance.
Okay, so the housing authority is still abated units that they're like, these, we're not going to pay our portion for these
until you fix these problems.
Got it.
And
so that's why
TH is like, you know,
let's hurry up and fix it.
Yeah, there's
problem.
A huge incentive there because without
because
that,
they're missing Section 8 income.
They're missing that subsidy. Yeah.
Money talk.
So all of this highlights larger problems where residents and activists were concerned about how long standing these problems at these buildings had been. So why now? Why look into these problems now? So I was curious about the same thing, and I requested inspection records over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And what I found was that there were many failures, quite frankly.
Problems. How far back did you go?
Just to 2016.
Okay.
TEH had said, you know, hey, we're not really responsible because we just started owning this building in May. So go to the other guys who used to own this building. Mm-hmm. But it shows between January 2016 until now that the problems are consistent throughout the previous owner and this current owner. Problems with leaking, problems with infestation, bed bugs, roaches, problems with the concrete porches, of course, and the walkways. That was the huge reason for this huge look by the housing authority. So I wanted to see if those things matched up, what people were saying and what the numbers said. And they do. And a lot of these inspections ramped up between the summertime and about October.
So have you been able to go back to the county housing authority and say, what's up, you know?
Well, I tried. Mm-hmm. I reached out to Susan Rollins and her office to get any other updates, any more information they wanted to share with me about what they were doing and what they had inspected, because that's a huge part of this. It's really important that they were taking the initiative, that they were looking into these problems. So I wanted feedback, and I didn't get it. So,
yeah, I mean, it strikes me, too. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, these systems can't just automatically be like, you know, course corrected kind of thing.
Yeah, it takes a lot of entities.
Right.
It takes the official people, the agencies, and it also takes the building owners. And in some cases, this isn't a HUD property, but in other cases, it takes HUD getting involved. There are a lot of moving parts in figuring out how to make low-income housing work for the people who live there.
Mm, speaking of the people who live there, I mean, it was a holiday party, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So describe for us just a little bit about the atmosphere, because clearly you went there, you were asking some heavy questions about this thing that's really not helpful to people or maybe making them happy, but it sounds like you found some people who still managed to.
Yeah, life goes on kind of thing.
It does go on. The beautiful part of this community and the people who live there is the joy and the struggle kind of juxtaposed together. It's not just pain. It's not just struggle. It's all the other things that we experience as well that makes life beautiful. And so people were at this Christmas party handing out gifts to kids, and they were feeding families, and there was a lot of happiness around it.
This is Fadi Ha.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
You having fun?
And Latasha put it in such a beautiful way, where she said, yeah, we have problems, but you know what? We're putting that to the side right now, and we're enjoying being a community, and that was really cool.
We're going to have a Merry Christmas in Southeast Ferguson, regardless of what's going on, because we are one community. Togetherness is the key for our success.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
in a way, the story that Ashley was telling us is sort of us, for the show, coming first full circle, because if you go back and listen to our very first episode we ever put out, it talks about the fact that this show is in many ways a response to what happened in Ferguson in 2014 and the killing of Michael Brown and the activism that popped up after that. And coming back to it now with this story out of Ferguson about mass evictions, it does make you think about what has changed and perhaps what hasn't changed.
Yeah, and we know that there's a lot of people who listen to our show who aren't in St. Louis, and a question that we always get is, you know,
what's changed?
Yeah, right. Is anything changed?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why we thought it important to bring this story to you guys.
Because some things have changed.
Some things have changed. I mean, in this case, we talk a lot about systems on this show. It's kind of a thing.
Yeah.
In this case, you did have a part of the system that moved proactively where perhaps they hadn't before. The Housing Authority actually decided to do something about the condition of the places that people were living in.
And what landlords were essentially getting subsidized?
Yes.
By public money.
And then
saying, you see
what happened?
Yeah.
The system responded, or part of the system responded, with essentially retaliation.
Yeah.
And the same people were hurt, displaced. And that seems to be a pattern that has gone on through the years, and we certainly see it again play out every day here, and I'm sure every day wherever you are, and where people live here in St. Louis is so significant, especially along racial lines.
Listen, this is the officially speaking. This is the final show of our fourth season, which we've done nothing but stories and reporting and storytelling about housing.
Which is why we sound like reflective. Because we kind of are in a reflective mood.
Yeah.
It's the end of the year. It's the end of the season. I know that when we started, we had no idea how it would turn out, but I think it turned out pretty well.
I feel really good about what we've done this year.
Yeah, it was a risk. We have never before dedicated an entire season to one issue, and I've loved it.
I've loved it too, and you know, both Camille and I think we got a lot of strength throughout doing this season, which is a long one, from you listening, from you sending tweets and emails, or stopping us at events and talking to us in person and
sharing with your friends.
Yes. All of that stuff.
Yeah. So I guess we should put you guys on notice that, like Tim said, this is the official last episode of season 4, but you know, we always have something up our sleeve. So look, don't forget about us. Don't look away from your feed. If you see another We Live Here episode pop up in January, don't be surprised. We're not ghosting you, but we are going to take a little break though and get some rest.
Yeah. So for one last time this season, let's do some credits.
Woo!
We Live Here is produced by me, Tim Lloyd.
And me, Camille Stanley.
And Alana Sistrunk was our associate producer for almost the entire season.
Almost the entire season.
Yes, thank you, Alana.
Thank you, Alana. We will miss you.
And Robert Peterson, he's still our boss.
He is still our boss. We won't miss you.
Wait.
I mean, but we'll see you soon, like in the hallway.
We'll see you when we get out of this studio. Robert is the director of radio. Director of Radio Programming at St. Louis Public Radio, and from St. Louis Public Radio and PRX, Camille.
This is We Live Here.
Boom, vacation time.
Woo!
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.